Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1123. This is your host, Danny, and joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio is the one and only Paris. What's going on, Paris?
What's going on, man? I'm good. This should be a fun episode. We get to talk about Returnal. Excited.
Oh, yes. It's going to be strictly about, most of it is going to be about Returnal. But I also I got invited to check out a new game that's coming out very, very soon. Called the Earth Defense Force. Have you even played that before in the past, like the series?
No, I've not played it. No, heard of it, but I have not played.
Yeah, so this one's called Earth Defense Force World Brothers. So I'm going to be posting a Q&A section, and I'll talk a little bit about the game on this episode. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. And make sure to share with your friends. Let them know about the show. And it will help us out to spread the word about it. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Easy. Just search. You find us. Subscribe. Follow us. And also post a review if you can. That will help us out a lot, too. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, before we continue with this episode, I mentioned the last one that we're going to have a giveaway. A giveaway of Shaq Eye Gear. We're gonna give away. We'll give away two glasses, two frames, and all they have to do is just send us a question, and then sometime next week we'll randomly select the winner and we send it to them, courtesy of Shaq Eye Gear, which they also sponsored this episode of Gamertag Radio. What do you think about that, man?
It's cool, huh? That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Again, you know, we talk about the Shaq Eye Gear all the time. We both wear them. Because we believe in it, or we wouldn't be talking about it so much. But it's been awesome to see different people in the community picking them up. They've been enjoying them as well. And the fact that we'll be able to give some away, I think is great, man. So someone else will get to check it out.
Hell yeah. And if anybody would like to buy a frame, you know, go to shaqeyegear.com. And it's easy. Select the one that you like, which a lot of our community members have done. All right. And before checkout, with the promo code GTR, that's it. You get 10% off your order, and this is exclusive for Gamertag Radio listeners. You're not gonna find this anywhere else. So, I'm wearing mine right now. Is the white and red, Paris? You have the black and blue, is it, or is it a black one? Okay, there you go. So, see, I gotta get that one. I gotta try new ones too.
Right? Yeah.
All right, so let's go with. I have a lot of questions, Paris, about this, man. Returnal, the vibe I get about this game reminds me so much of like Dead Cells, that type of vibe for me personally. But I know you're going to tell us a lot about this game. Shout out to Sony, PlayStation for sending you a review code. And yeah, let's go from there, man. Just tell us about the game and I'll ask you these questions, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, I want to thank PlayStation for the opportunity to review Returnal, to get it early. I've had it about a week now, I would say. And my first impression is this. I've never been so excited to play a game I'm absolutely terrible at. I think that's the best
way.
Why
is that?
Because Returnal is a from Housemarque, by the way, shout out to Housemarque. They're a fantastic developer, but it's a rogue light game, whichever reference you want to use on it, which basically means you go in, you gear up, and you play until you die, and then you have to start over from the beginning, and it's a procedural game. So then the level completely changes when you jump back in. That is the basic definition of Returnal. I've not been a big, like, I played like, I played a couple game, like roguelike stuff like that, but I've never been super big into the genre. Right. So I knew what Returnal was going into it, but I really didn't deep dive into any of the previews that come out. Cause like, you know, PlayStation Blog had a preview that came out. I just knew of the premise. So I jump in, and like you said, you go in, you start playing, you die, you start over, rinse and repeat. First off, the production value of Returnal is phenomenal. The way that it utilizes the 3D audio of the Pulse, because I was using the Pulse headset, the 3D audio, as well as the DualSense controller, to me, this is the first game to truly take advantage of all aspects of the PlayStation 5, because this is a PlayStation 5 only game. The level design in it is fantastic. The atmosphere in it is great. The music in it is great. Graphically, it's stunning. Like when I talk about the DualSense as an example, you can literally, with the haptic feedback, feel the raindrops, each individual raindrop as it hits your character. That's how precise it is. It's really, really good. This is not an easy game. I think that would be the one thing that I would want to tell people up front. There's six biomes that basically the biomes are kind of like the levels, the worlds that you will go through. There's six of them. I'm in the third one. I've been able to get to the end of it, to the boss, but I'm at the third one. Yeah, I know there's other people out there that will have completed it by the time this review comes out. But it really didn't click for me on how to approach Returnal until yesterday. I was kind of struggling a little bit, and then it really clicked, and then I was able to zoom through the second biome and into the third biome. And even now with the third biome, the boss, I know what to do. I just need to, which is the most important part, a piece of advice that I'll give people here is I need to go back, start in biome one, and I need to prepare. I need to prep. I need to take my time. I need to level up my weapons. I need to, you know, get the various other upgrades, like the parasites, you know, which there's kind of a plus and minus to those, where you'll get a positive attribute, but then there's a negative attribute associated to it as well. And you have to kind of choose, is this viable for the kind of the build that I'm creating in this current run? You also have artifacts that you can collect while you're exploring through the world, which can give you certain attributes as well. You know, you'll get new weapons as you go, and you can those will have different roles on them, and they'll have more perks to them. Again, you're slowly but surely building up your character to get to certain encounters. Like the ultimate goal is at the end of each biome, you want to take down the boss, because that's how you advance to the next biome, right? Like I said, and when I say struggle, I'm not saying it in a negative way, but I was on a struggle bus for sure. Dying a lot. You know, if people were watching my tweets over the past week or so, you would see little hints that I would put out, because obviously I don't want to spoil anything. I don't even want to spoil anything now in this review as far as what the encounters look like, because you truly need to experience them for yourself to kind of understand. But, you know, I had scenarios where, like, the one that sticks out to most me, the one that if there was ever a true frustration point I had, and it was self-inflicted, where I walked away from the game for a few hours, was I had one time where, and this is in the second biome, I'm gearing up, doing everything perfectly, like 2.5 hours, just gearing up, preparing to take on the second boss. I'm almost ready to take on the second boss. Mm-hmm. And I decide I'm ready. I got everything good to go. All I got to do is just go to the boss. That's all I got to do. I decide, oh, wait, here's a side door that I haven't explored yet. I should go in here. Maybe there's one more thing I can pull out of here that'll help me. Wrong. I go in the door. It literally locks behind me, so I can't leave. There's a mini boss in there with an overshield that I don't have a weapon that can break. I die. And everything I did for 2.5 hours, flush it down the toilet, gone. Start over. I walked away. I was like, I need a break. I walked away.
Get out of here.
If anyone wants to see the timeline and when that happened, there's a tweet I have out there where I just say Christ and exclamation point. That's when it happened. I was like, screw this game. I need a break from it. But here's the great thing about Returnal, though. Mm-hmm. As frustrating as that may have been, it's all I thought about. All I thought about was, what's the next run? How am I going to approach this again? What do I need to do? What do I need to find to help me in the next encounter? In other words, patience, take your time, be very meticulous with your exploration as you gear up your character. And look, RNG absolutely plays a factor in this with the weapon rolls that you're going to get, some of the parasites that you're going to find, artifacts, etc. And there's, and I never say it right, but there's basically like a currency that you can get. It starts with an O, and I'm screwing it up right now, so I apologize. But there's a currency that you can get in the game that you get when you're killing enemies and everything. And you can use that to buy consumables. Consumables is another part of your build. Like, you can get a consumable that could refill most of your health. You can get one that gives you like an overshield. Trying to think of some of the other ones that can boost up your weapon proficiency, things like that. So again, you kind of got to map the stuff out as you're going, as you're preparing your character. And look, I'm saying all this, I ain't even talking about the story. There's actually a pretty compelling story in here as well. Mm-hmm. The best way that I can describe it is, to me, this feels like a late 70s sci-fi horror story. That's the best way I can kind of describe it. You know, you're an astronaut, you crash on this planet. There's the whole mystery that goes with it. And again, I don't want to spoil the story, but so far it's been very compelling, and I am definitely engaged with it as you continue to uncover the mystery as you progress, you know, through the biomes and through the world. Again, like I say, the atmosphere that this game sets up is phenomenal. This is where I'm telling you that the post 3D audio that the PlayStation 5 puts out is fantastic. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. It really sets the mood for what you do. Couple that with the DualSense controller, where you're literally feeling the tension and the moments in your hands as you're playing. It's like, I get it. I really get it with the PlayStation 5 and what they're trying to do with this kind of synergy of the hardware. You know, obviously, like I said, with the music and the haptic feedback and everything, it works. And like I said, graphically, it's stunning. It's one of the best looking games that you'll play right now. And overall, it's fun in the roguelike way. If you're into those genre, it is fun for what it is, because part of the journey is failing. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to continue to get better. It's like a big giant puzzle. You're figuring this out as you go. And like I said, yesterday I had my aha moment, and it clicked for me on how I need to approach this game and how I need to traverse through it. And once that happened, like my next run after, I was like, oh, I get it now. I got to wait to the third boss. You see what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. And even that was like, all it is, all right, now I just got to figure out the boss's pattern, how to approach him. I'm good. I know I'm talking a mile a minute. Maybe I'll.
No, it's all good. Take your time.
Because I know you got questions and everything. But
yeah.
The other thing about Returnal is, I feel like it's not overly punishing to start you off. So in that way, this is almost a great entry into the roguelike genre, right? Where they're going to hold your hand for a little bit to kind of get you in there so you can kind of understand how things work. But I'm going to tell you right now, Danny, once you get to that second biome, nope.
It's a wrap.
They're taking your hands off, and it gets punishing, but in a fun way. A challenging way. It's challenging you, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, trust me. And look, this is not going to be for everyone. I know it's not going to be for everyone. But I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal game. It really, really is. I'm honestly shocked that there wasn't more marketing around this game. I really am. It really surprises me that they didn't pump this up even more. And you know, I understand COVID has kind of changed some things. Like, they couldn't have like an in-person preview event, because that's the other thing. If we'd have played this at E3 for like an hour, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And it would have definitely skewed our perception of what Returnal is. The fact that I got to have it at home and play it, like, I feel like you need probably a good 6 to 8 hours of playing it to truly get it and understand what they're going for. And I think if they would have had like a real hands-on preview stuff, they would have had to, you know, like you fly us out to an event or whatever, literally put us in a room all day and let us play all day to truly get it. Because you're not going to get this at a 45-minute E3 demo or something like that, right? You're not going to truly get it reading a preview article. Honestly, you're really not even going to get it, you know, because we could have streamed it and stuff like that. You're really not even going to get it from a stream. Maybe you can watch it and that's cool, but it's different when you got the controller in your hand, I'm telling you. Because the way I approached it, like I said, I didn't know a lot about the game until I started playing the game. I didn't have like some PR preview hints and, oh, do this, do that. None of that. I downloaded it, picked up the sticks, and just started playing and started to understand this game and the world as I played it. And to me, I think that's the best way to do it personally. Like I said, just shout out to House. I always screw it up, but I always want to say House Marquee, but it's not. It's House Mark. Shout out to them. They're a phenomenal developer. You know, they've obviously done some smaller AA games on PS4 in the past, but this is like their first high production value AAA effort, and they knocked it out the park, in my opinion. Like I said, I told you this right before we started. As soon as we're done with this, I'll probably jump on again tonight. I'll get past the third boss, go into the fourth biome. I'll be done with this by the weekend because I get it now. I get what I need to do. But yeah. Part of the fun is discovering that aha moment for yourself of how to play it. Because it's not easy, and it's not meant to be easy. It's not an easy game. And that's good. And trust me, it's good. It's a good, fun experience. And I'm digging it. But I'll be quiet because I know you got questions.
It's all good. All good. No, do your thing. Now, here's the thing. Like, this game was not on my radar at all.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I'm excited about Ratchet and Clank. That's coming out sometime in June. But, you know, the more I've been seeing, like, the videos and people that we know that has a game already, because they also got a review code. You know, the things that people have been saying, I'm like, okay, that's my type of game. That's like my Dead Cells vibes, you know, Demon Souls, like that type of vibe, you know? So I'm down to play. I'm down to try it out. And I like that challenge, you know? But I get it. Not everyone is going to be into these type of games, you know? Because people will get frustrated and they stop and they're like, oh, they feel like they wasted their money. But, you know, I think people should give it a chance and try it out, you know, if they want that challenge,
right?
You know, just don't buy it just because it's an exclusive. Buy it because that's your type of game that you like, you know, because there's games, Paris, that you play on PC, on Xbox, that it was so frustrating. You're like, yeah, I'm good. And you stop playing it. So, but I'm happy to see that you're still thinking about the game, and you want to go back and continue, you know? So now the first question I do have for you is this. What made you like, okay, I get it now. What was it, the click? Was it something that you discover while playing it, or just talk with other people that you know that has a game? Like, what was it that you realize?
I don't want to say specifically, because I think, again, that's part of the fun of it. Is discovering for yourself, but you are right. Other people that have been reviewing it, you look, the DMs were lit the past few days, talking like, yo, you here, you doing this, you doing that kind of thing. But I'll say it this way, because this isn't really giving anything away. Mm-hmm. Patience. Take your time. Take your time. Mm-hmm. The worst thing you can do is rush to the boss. Take your time. Explore the biome as much as you possibly can, gear up as much as you possibly can. Because here's the other cool thing about it, right? Because you are going to do backtracking, like I said, because you die, you got to start all over. Like, you'll be in biome one and you'll look at them like, wait, how do I get that? How do I get in there? How can I get that? And you can't. But then later on, you'll unlock something. Because some things you can't keep permanently, but the majority of the stuff you lose, right? But there's some things you do get to keep with you. And you'll be like, oh, I have this now. Oh, yeah, I remember that thing back here. Oh, if I see that again, I can go into that now. And then you go in and it's a new parasite or an artifact or something that's going to help your build to level up. So you have to kind of keep that, because it is procedural level. So it's not going to be 100% the same the next time you go back in. There will be some differences when you go back. But you'll see there's certain things that you'll want to seek out or make sure you have enough of the, is it oblets? I'd screw it up, but basically like the currency that you have enough of, that if you basically find the in biome vendor, you can go buy a specific thing or consumable that will help you later on. Mm-hmm. I just leave it at that, because I really don't think people should get the spoiled form. I think they should discover the stuff on their own. Because let me tell you something. The first time you beat the boss, oh my God, it's such a satisfying feeling. You know what it's like to me? It's like when you beat the raid. That's what it feels like to me. It feels so satisfying to finally do it. You know what I mean? So, just take your time. Have some patience while you're exploring these worlds. And again, if you die, this ain't a race, man. It ain't a race. Don't bang your head against a wall. If you find yourself, you just keep dying over and over, take a break. Take a break. Go do something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then come back to it later. Kind of think about the mistakes that you potentially were making and why, and then approach it a different way, so to speak, right? It's trial and error with a lot of this stuff. And as you play more, it's like building up a skill set on its own. That's the one thing that you get. The more you die, the more you play, the better you're going to get, because you become more familiar with it.
And this, when you say 70s horror, like that type of, it reminded me of like Alien.
Exactly.
Is it exactly like that? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Think like Alien, or I even take it even further back, like into the 50s, like something like Forbidden Planet or whatever. You'll see, like, you know, like Enemy Mine is another one from the 80s. Think of something like that, where, you know, you're like sole survivor on this foreign planet, and you got to figure out a way. It's that kind of thing. Like I said, it's definitely a sci-fi horror type of vibe to it. That's what I take from it.
That's cool. Really, really cool. And let's talk more about the controller, Paris. You said the DualSense, you said, is one of the best ones so far. Because I know that was one of the things that you mentioned from the Astro Room demo. But that was what it's called, right?
Astro's Playroom. Yeah.
Playroom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So think of it like that. Anyone that has a PlayStation 5 that used the DualSense with Astro's Playroom, and think of how many unique ways the DualSense was being used in that. Not so much for the control aspect of it, because it's a third person shooter for the most part, right? But the haptic feedback, the way it interacts with the environment, the way you're going to get different vibrations and feelings as you're going through, like it really adds to the, screwing up the word, but it really adds to the environment, the way that you navigate the I'm blanking on the word that I'm looking for here. It's adding to the atmosphere, so to speak. Right. And I'm saying this wrong and I apologize, but like I said, the rain is probably a great example of this. Like, you literally feel the individual drops of rain when you're going through, right? Or when you enter a certain room and that son of a gun locks behind you, and the way that it'll use the haptic feedback and the microphone at the same time, to where you're literally hearing it and feeling it slamming shut behind you, right? Or when one of these mini bosses just slaps the taste out your mouth and slaps you across the room, like you're feeling it. You know what I'm saying? It's stuff like that. Trust me, there's definitely some moments where you look, my heart rate might have risen a little, and I'm gripping the controller a little tighter, and you're just feeling it almost like a heartbeat in your hand, you know, stuff like that. To put it in simple terms, the DualSense does things with haptic feedback that the Xbox controller or the Switch controller simply cannot do. And this game is probably the best representation of that since Astro's Playroom, in my opinion. And like I said, when you couple that with the Pulse 3D audio as well, to where you're literally having this three-dimensional soundscape in your ears as you're going through this stuff, it really adds to the mood of what you're going into in these encounters and stuff. Yeah, again, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, Paris, this reminded me of, remember when Ninja Gaiden came up for the original Xbox, that first boss that everybody took hours to beat, and then we figured out, we're like, yes, you know, was it like that tough, like seeing the boss for the first time, the first one, you know, like you're there, were you panicking? Were you like, okay, let me 100%. Check my... Okay.
100%. Yeah. I was panicking. I've had plenty of panic moments. So I can even give you another panic moment. And this is where I talk about the parasites having different pluses and minuses to them. So I was in one encounter where I panicked. And I, because you read what the parasites are before you pick them up, and you have to make a decision. And I'm thinking I was running around just in a panic, and I picked up a parasite that, while it had a positive thing on it, the negative clearly outweighed the positive. Where it took 60, it reduced my repair integrity by 60%. So basically, what that's doing when you're picking up like health in the game. It reduced the effectiveness of the health by 60%. So I couldn't get my health all the way back up to 100% by the time I got to the boss. And oh, guess what? I died. You know, stuff like that. And it's like, I did it. Oh, and you can get certain things to remove parasites and all that, but I couldn't find any. Right. And it's like, well, I'm screwed. This is the run. This is what I have to do. I know I'm probably going to die at this boss, but screw it. I got to go in and do it. And sure enough, I got to like the third phase of the boss and I died. And I was so mad because I'm like, if I hadn't have screwed myself with this parasite, I would have went in with full health and I could have got past it. So it's little stuff like that, you know?
Now, this is the most important question from a lot of people. $70, Paris. It's a decision that people have to make, man. $70. Is it worth $70 in your opinion and why?
Yes, 100% is worth $70. And I actually struggled with that question over the past few days on would it be? Mm-hmm. But kind of like I said, as I traversed through the game more and I kind of had my aha moment, absolutely this is worth $70. The only caveat I would put on it is it being a genre that not everyone is going to want to play, but I would encourage people to use this game as an entry point into the roguelite genre, because I think it does an excellent job. Again, AAA experience, high production values, everything I've talked about with the DualSense, the 3D audio, the atmosphere, the level design, the weapons feel good, the story's good. This is a great game. Just is. It's a great game. And yeah, $70 is a lot of money. I am not debating that at all. But if this is the new reality that we're in with AAA games, that they're going to cost $70, let's put it to you this way. Mm-hmm. When Jeff Keighley comes out there in his brand new tailored suit with his $1 million smile in December at the Game Awards, there mm-hmm. will be a category with Returnal in it, and it's most likely going to be Game of the Year, where it's going to show up. It's that good. Like when I think
that's pretty big.
Like when
that's
I think of big. Games that I've played so far in 2021, it's probably the best one I played, I think, of new games. I mean, obviously there's stuff from last year, but of a game that came out this year, probably the best game I've played so far this year. 100%.
That's good.
Like, again, I don't need to compare other games to it, but yeah, just of what I've played, this is probably the best one I've played. It's at a minimum, it's in the top three.
Yeah, I think this is the game, Paris, that because I know you mentioned there was no marketing, but to me, there's no way how to market this game. This is more of just the consumers, the community, just talking about it, spread the word, that type of vibe. I think the game will be a success based on the reviews and just the community talking about it overall, man. Do you see that or no? Or you think it's going to be tricky for a game like this to be a successful game for PlayStation?
Well, again, I think it's interesting. Like, obviously, there's been great word of mouth about it in the past week as you know, creators and reviewers have gotten their hands on it. And, you know, we've hinted, you know, there's been preview articles that come out. And people have hinted about certain things. Like, I think people are genuinely excited about it now. Mm-hmm. I will be interested to see the awareness around it. It will be interesting to see what the Metacritic score will be. I would say if I was a reviewer and I was giving it a score, I'd probably put it in the high 80s to low 90s right now. That's probably where I'd put it. So it'd be interesting to see if that's where it ends up and what that translates into for awareness and, you know, literally getting people to understand that it is worth the $70 price point. Because I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Because when you look at the previous Housemarque games, they were not AAA experiences. They were more AA experiences that you would not have spent the $60 or $70 on, right? So this is their first entry into that. And that's why I wonder if they could have used more of a marketing push for people to understand it. But then, like I also said, I do think it's tricky with COVID and everything. We couldn't really get an extended hands-on time with it until now anyways, right? Until the final product. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. It will be. But mm-hmm. I personally think it is worth the price of admission for sure, because I think this is a game that people are going to want to play.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, I was going to ask you about this character, the main character in the game. This is something where, you know, usually there's certain games in the past that came out, you don't know anything about the character, you don't know why you're there, but based on just exploring and doing certain things, you're going to discover more, not only about the world, but also about the character. Is something like that too, similar for this
100%,
one?
100%. And that's exactly what it is. You're going to discover why you're there. Again, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but you'll see. The as you progress through the game, the mystery will start to unfold and you will start to understand more about the character, the motivations, why you're there, all that stuff. It'll make sense.
Mm. All right, that's good. That's good. Anything else about the game? And have you been unlocking like trophies in this or what?
Yeah. Unlocking trophies along the way and everything. Again, man, it is a very, very good game. I fully expect it to be in the discussion at the end of the year for Game of the Year. And I'm surprised by that, to be honest with you. Again, going back to the lack of talk around it, the quote unquote lack of buzz. Like, as an example, look how much marketing and awareness there is in the community about Ratchet and Clank. You know, another game from PlayStation 5 that's about to come out versus Returnal. I would say even right now, Returnal comes out tomorrow when people hear this. And I would say there's even a state of play happening, you know, right before with Ratchet and Clank. I would say there's more going on with Ratchet and Clank than there is for Returnal. And I would imagine both of them are similar AAA experiences. So it's surprising in that way. Again, as an example, where was the state of play for Returnal? You know, where was the more of awareness, get developers talking about it to try and get more people to at least understand what they're going to get themselves into, even if you couldn't do an extended hands-on preview until now? Just things like that. But I do think that when people pick this up and they play it, it won't be easy, mm-hmm. but that's part of the point. It's not supposed to be easy. That's part of the fun, is the challenge. And I think when people get into that gameplay loop and they understand that, they'll have a great time with it. And they'll see what I mean. It's a great game and is definitely worth your $70 if you're so inclined to want to spend that, you know, to pick up a game on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, no, that's dope. That's dope. And I agree with you, man. I find that so strange that there was no state of play. There was no marketing. There was just maybe one blog post and that's it. I find that very strange for like the marketing side of just trying to get the word out about a new game this year. And the reason why this game, in my opinion, Paris, is going to be successful, besides just the word of mouth and the reviews, I think because there's not going to be a lot of AAA games coming out this year, people want to see something new, especially new IPs.
Yes. And that's the other important part about this. It's a new IP. I would rather them do something like this as a new IP than to just do Resogun 2 as an example, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's what is going to help this game. Like, if this Returnal were to come out in a year when we get bombarded of just, like, nonstop AAA games, I think this game would have gotten lost, in my opinion. But this is the perfect opportunity to get the word out and try this game out, man, you know? So I think it's going to be a success, I think.
Yeah, you know? I think it's coming out at the right time. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I was just surprised that they didn't put more marketing oomph behind it to just build up more awareness. But look, maybe they've done enough here in the past couple of weeks that people are going to be super excited about it and they're going to run it and go pick it up anyways. And also, let's factor this in too. Obviously, the news came out. We've seen the sales numbers of the PlayStation 5. It's selling at a record pace. But hell, they can't even make enough of them. So not enough people even have a PlayStation 5 right now to be able to play this game. So that also factors into this too. But I think it's a great game. I think all the accolades that it's going to get will be well deserved, and people should be excited for it.
No, definitely. Everybody, make sure to follow Paris Vicious696 on Twitter, because he's probably going to be talking about more about the game. Are you planning to post any clips or videos on your YouTube channel or no?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably get some stuff up by the weekend. It was like I was banging my head against the wall so much, and if you look at the preview embargo stuff, they wanted you to do original. I am even going to talk about that. Maybe I ain't supposed to talk about it, but basically, what the preview embargo was saying was, I was like, do I want to do that? I go, I'm already on the struggle bus. No, I'm gonna just stay on the struggle bus. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. All right, good. All right, everybody, make sure to give your feedback to Paris about his review. So we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, I'm going to play an audio that had a conversation with the developers that worked on Earth Defense Force World Brothers, which is coming out soon, and for PlayStation, also Nintendo Switch and PC. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And now to take a word from our sponsor, Every Plate. Experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kit. Get meals you'll enjoy and your bank account will love, delivered right to your door, contact free. Think of it this way. One meal from Every Plate is the same price as one cup of coffee. Every Plate dinners are the less expensive and more fulfilling alternative to takeout or delivery. More bang for your buck. Getting dinner on the table daily used to be a challenge. Now let Every Plate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a delightful price. Recipes come together in about 30 minutes, definitely faster than a trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch. Every Plate provides easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients so you can spend less time prepping and cooking and more time enjoying good food with family or loved ones. So Every Plate, again, just my own personal experience. They sent over a couple meals. The other night we had some cherry Swedish meatballs. It was great. We also had this pork, rice, and vegetable dish. And it's just like they're saying. So they send everything over to you, the meat, all the vegetables, everything with the recipes. Pretty easy to follow. You know, you just chop up all your vegetables, cook your meat. As it says, they give you all the sauces, like literally everything that you need. I think the only thing I needed myself was butter and oil. And even that was just a small amount. But I really like Every Plate. The meals were great. Easy to prepare, and the family enjoyed them. And hell, we went and ordered more. That's how much we really like them. So I think you guys will enjoy them too. So with Every Plate, try Every Plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes by going to everyplate.com and entering our code GTR199. Get started with Every Plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks by going to everyplate.com and entering our code GTR199. That is up to $100 value. Again, this is Every Plate, and I want to thank them for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, one, we're going to talk about Earth Defense Force, World Brothers. Shout out to 1PR Studio and also D3 Publishers for sending me this invite. This was a virtual event, and there was a remote hands off of the game where the developers was just the game producer was there from Ukes, and they were just doing a Q&A for like a good hour or so, and also showing off the different things that you could do in the game. It was a lot of fun just checking this out. And during my session, I also asked them a couple questions about the game. And for those who don't know, this is also coming out for Steam, PlayStation 4, and also Nintendo Switch. So the game is coming out May 27, and unlike the previous Earth Defense Force games that came out in the past, which that one is more like it seems more real. This one reminds me a lot of like Minecraft, Legos, that type of graphics and environments in there. And there's huge, huge insects in the game, brutal ones, man. Like, and you play as four players, so there's a lot of players there, characters you could unlock in the game. There's difficulties, and I think when you finish the game, there's also two extra difficulties that you could also unlock. That's a lot harder in this one. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but everything is in the recording here. Yeah, so you go different parts of the world. You go to like Paris. You go. It looks like the first one they showed was like New York City in there. But it looks a lot of fun, man. And also you could customize your characters. There's gonna be weapons, gear. Looks really, really cool in there. And let's see what else. Again, you could play up to four players in this online, also local co-op, and the whole game is going to look as like a third-person shooter game, where you'll go shoot, you will save other characters in the game. Well, there's going to be icons in the map where you might see a character that is down. You go and run and try to revive, and you're going to build your team from there. And this, I'm telling you, there's going to be enemies nonstop coming, and you got to just continue to help your friends and also attack. So the presentation was a lot of fun. It was cool just interacting with the dev team. And I asked some couple questions, and there was also another journalist there. I recorded the whole thing, so I'm going to play it here. And please let me know your thoughts about this Q&A. And once we come back, I'm going to end this episode with Paris. And yeah, can't wait to hear your thoughts about the game. So once again, I want to say thanks to 1PR and D3 Publishers for inviting me to sit down with the developers at Ukes. And here we go. Let's go right now straight to the Q&A.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Open the floor for Q&A. So you guys are more than welcome to ask any questions you like for Okojima-san. And we'll also be showing in the background some additional gameplay of another level with four enemies and a choice of what the four EDF members you'd like to have, or like you'd like to see. So go ahead. Okay, looks like we got a question here. Keske says, Jason asks, I think you showed a pretty cool range of variety, but I was specifically interested in how centered on co-op play this would be.
Okay. 岡島さん、メディアさんからの質問なんですが、協力プレイに関して少しご解説いただけますかということです。
はい。協力プレイはですね、今回5月にですね、スイッチバージョン、PS4 バージョン、PC バージョンと、3つのプラットフォームで、リリースするんですけれども、すべてにおいて、オンラインの、4人までの、協力プレイというのが、可能です。
スプリットスクリーンまで全部もうお伝えしてよろしいですか？先ほどと同じように。
そうですね、16人の部分とか。
はい、16人。はい。お任せしてます。はい。Okay, so the...EDF World Brothers will be available on Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Steam and PC. So all platforms will support online co-op play up to four people. And for local plays, On Nintendo Switch, you can get to play up to four people locally with device, the consoles. And for PS4 version, will support a local split screen to play up to two people. So online mode for four people, you can, of course, can control one character, but you can get, just like a regular gameplay, you can get three more characters come with you. So that means on the ground, you get 16 characters fighting against the enemies at the same time if you play online.
ありがとうございます。
What about this?
All right, Danny, Jason, you're more than welcome to ask any more questions. The floor is
yours. What was the decision to the design choice compared to like the older games, previous games?
今回 EDF ブラザーズの特徴であるこの見た目、ボクセル調のデザインなんですが、どうしてこういう、EDF のナンバリングとかこれまでの作風とは違う、見た目、ビジュアルデザインを発案されたのでしょうか。何かこうインスピレーションがあって、こういう、決定に至ったのか、その辺のお話を聞かせてください。
はい、わかりました。まずですね、これまでナンバリングEDF の他にいくつかのスピンアウト作品も我々は、提供してきたんですけれども、今回のワールドブラザーズでは、もっと幅広い、お客さんにアピールして、もっと低年齢層のですね、EDF 隊員も、入隊者が欲しいというふうに、思ったので、まずできること、変えなければいけないところを変えようという、ことで始めました。
So first of all, for the spin-offs, especially for spin-offs, we always try something new. In the previous title, previous spin-off titles, we always focus on more on the core players, the core fans. For this one particularly, we wanted to focus on a different audience, which is younger and casual gamers and audience. So we wanted to change something new for them. はい。
はい。今まで虫が怖すぎてでプレイできないっていう人もその中には含まれています。
There are people who can avoid EDF because of some people just hate insects and ants, and they are big of them, they're huge. So, はい。
はい。ですから、若い EDF 隊員は冷たい、これまでと違う、お客さんにアプローチしたいというのはあるんですけれども、その中で、グラフィックは、どういったものがいいだろうという、アイデアがいろいろあった中で、ですから、本当に四角、シンプルな四角のマインクラフトみたいなグラフィックはどうだというのもあれば、もう少しその丸っこいようなグラフィックはどうだという案、アイデアもあったんですけれども、結構細かく、細かいボクセルで構成するタイプの、で、ディティールが出せるボクセルとキャラクターたちというのが最終的には一番いいんじゃないかということで、このスタイルになりました。
So, to introduce EDF to pretty much anyone, people who even hates insects, to just casual gamers and teenagers and even kids, we actually tried so many different type of look. Very different from the traditional EDF, such as round characters and objects, or even more like a really Minecraft-like, like a big squares. But we ended up picking this small cubes and voxel design. And that's just because we can work on more detail like other EDF games and make, you know, mechs like a mech. The big monster, like big monsters, a little bit more detailed than the just the round or square. So this is what we came up with and how.
Right. And Jason asked a question in the chat. He says, I think you showed a pretty cool range of variety, but I was specifically interested in how centered on co-op play this would be. Just so I'm clear, each online player can bring in their own team of four for 16 characters total within the level.
Yes, that's correct. So just, just follow up since he, Okajima-san mentioned earlier, is that because of three, so you have your main character that you are always playing, and the three others are all NPCs and playing along with you. Times you have three other friends online, so that means 16 characters on the ground in the level. Does that make sense? I hope.
I mean, no, that makes sense, Jason. And then Jason got another question. Are there any crafting elements in the game? I see this sort of graphics and assumed as crafting of sort.
Okajima-san, あの、このボクセル調のルックスが故に、もしかしてこのゲームの中にはそのクラフティング、つまりその組み立てる要素を作り込める要素っていうのがあるんじゃないかと思うんですが、その辺はいかがでしょうか?
そんなことはありません。 このゲームは壊すことだけですね、できるのは。 はい、とにかく派手にぶっ壊すことはめちゃめちゃできます。作ることはできません。
So actually no crafting in the game just because EDF is all about destroying. So you can destroy everything in the game. Buildings and objects and character, enemies, everything. But there's no crafting levels or a feature in this game.
Oh, I have a quick question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you unlock the higher difficulty, are there going to be any new enemies too?
あ、岡島さん、もしあの、その各ステージにおいて難易度を高く設定したら、例えばハーデスとかインフェルノにすると、その敵の種類も変わるのでしょうか。例えばその新しい低いレベルでは、難易度では出てこなかった敵が出るとか、他では見れない敵自身が出てきたりもするのでしょうか。
難易度によって出てくる登場する敵が変わるかどうかということですね。変わるかどうか、はい。まあこれは基本的にはありません。要は敵の強さとか、動きが変わるとか。動きは変わりますね。はい。So
to answer your question, so the answer is no. So each level is set with the same enemies. And it's just the difficulty level will change the behavior and speed and power and everything. So there's no the new enemies that you see, even if you change the difficulty level in the menu.
So that also means that you can unlock new weapons because of the difficulty also?
岡島さん、もう一度確認なんですが、ただその先ほど申し上げた、難易度を上げると、キャラクターは、その難しいレベルをクリアすることで、よりレベルアップが上がったり、新しい武器を取得したりということはあるということでよろしくお願いします。もちろんです。より高い難易度で、キャラクターを救出すると、より、レベルの高い武器を手に入れることができます。救出するキャラクターの種類も変わりますか？難易度が上がると。救出するキャラクターはですね、序盤の方は、固定なんですよ。ある一定の、その狭い範囲での程度の中での、固定されてるんですが、ある一定からはもう、何度のキャラクターが出るかわからないというランダムの世界で、高い難易度で、いけば、
So in terms of the characters, earlier the game, the characters appears in the mission are the same, and these are all basic characters. However, the second part of the game, the later on in the game, it's going to be random. So if you play more and more, you get to meet the, and rescue the new characters. And then to go back to your question, by changing the difficulty levels to higher, more difficult, you can actually earn a better, you can actually earn the higher skill levels. So like for instance, if you finish the level with Inferno, that you can earn more gauge or more character levels in the mission, so that there's advantage of that in terms of the character if you set the more difficult levels.
All right, and then Jason had a question in the chat. Are there open world elements? Like, are you able to piece the world back together and continually increase the size and scope of the world you can explore? Or is it more traditional level by level?
World Brothers は、オープンワールド的な要素はあるのでしょうかというのが、今の地球がバラバラになってますけど、まあ、例えばそれを戻していったときに、その戻したそのレベルでまた何かそのストーリーが展開するとか、敵が出てくるようなものなのか、もしくは、伝統的なこうレベルバイレベルですね、一つレベルクリアしたら次に行くというシステムなのでしょうか。
はい、オープンワールドのゲームではありません。はい、限られた、箱庭の中で、敵を倒していくというタイプの、まあ、それはもうナンバリング EDF と同じようなスタイルに。
It's the same as traditional EDF. It's level by level game design and not the open world system.
You know, I have another question. What is like his favorite combination of like weapons and character for him personally?
Okay. Okajima-san's 好きなコンビネーション、キャラクターや武器、まあ、そうですね。キャラクターと武器のコンビネーションがあれば教えてください。
はい。最終的にはキャラクターのスキルレベルが上がれば、すべての武器が装備できてしまうので、ちょっと武器の組み合わせとかっていうとですね、もう無限にあるので、何とも言えないんですが、おすすめというか、スピアーズ作品ならの面白みで言いますと、例えば、EDF5 や4に出てきたフェンサーというキャラクターが持っている、なんだそうかな。伸びる槍というかですね、射出式の槍みたいな武器があるんですよ。で、そういうのが、例えば空飛ぶウィングダイバーが持ったりということは、絶対その、ナンバリングシリーズが実現しなかったことですので、そういったことを、やるのが、このゲームの楽しいところだと思います。
So, it's tough to pick one because, like I said, like there are many of them, and each weapons are unique. But I think personally, I like seeing the, for instance, Fencer from EDF5. He has a spear type of weapon with him, and like I said, as you increase the weapon levels.You can actually share the weapon with someone else. So that means I can select the wing diver to use the EDF-5's Fencer's spear. So that's a pretty interesting because you don't get to that character with the weapon combination in other EDF game. So that means, of course, you can get different dynamics of the gameplay, different feel, and speed, and everything. So depending on which level of the EDF player you are, but I think I recommend trying traditional legacy character with the weapons from also legacy character together so that you get the new feeling of it. I think here Mitch is trying to find a wing diver with different weapons.Thank you very much, and thanks for joining, and please have a good one.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, that was my Q&A with the developers of the game of Earth Defense Force. It reminds me so much of Minecraft.That type of vibe, and it looks fun. It looks fun. I think we always get like emails from parents that want to play more games, especially locally with their kids. And I think this is the game, man. So definitely check it out. And please let me know what you think about the audio that I recorded during the virtual event. And Paris, anything else, man, before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, I think that's it. Like I said, I mean, just thank you to PlayStation for the opportunity. Obviously, by the time people hear this, that Ratchet and Clank State of Play will be out. I'm really excited for that as well.
Very excited.
Yeah, that's definitely high on my radar for games I want to play this year. So really looking forward to that. And even that trailer they put out the other day, I mean, visually, this, just tell me if I'm crazy or I'm overhyping it. This might be as close to Pixar level I think we've seen in a game.
I have to agree.
With what
it looks done. Really good. It looks really good.
Shockingly good. And if you follow James Stevenson, he heads up community over at Insomniac. You know, he was even teasing out. He was like, "Oh yeah, I had it at home on my 77-inch OLED," and he goes, "This is the most beautiful game I've ever seen." And look, he works there. I get it, but I trust him. I trust him when he says something like that.
Yeah,
just from what we've seen, it looks stunning. So I'm very excited for it.
Nah, I can't wait. Can't wait. Just a month to go. Is it a month? A little over a month, but
yeah, a little
can't
over
wait
a
to
month.
Try that out. Yep. Yeah, honestly, to me, in my opinion, everybody's gonna have their own. Besides Miles Morales, this is the reason why I got a PlayStation 5. Was because of Ratchet and Clank. Because I'm a huge fan of Insomniac. I love their past games. Spider-Man, also Sunset Overdrive, and I played also the Ratchet and Clank game that came out for the PlayStation 4. So I'm excited to try this one out. Super hype. Super, super hype. Can't wait, man. So, all right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also, share it, let people know about the show. And also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, and post your review. Remember, if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, which we have a giveaway thanks to Shack Eye Gear, we're going to give away two glasses, courtesy of them. This is how you can enter the giveaway and how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone, we're going to be out here. And next episode, I'm not going to be on because I'm going to be traveling, visiting family. And Paris and P are going to take over for the next episode. But I'll be back for the next one after that. So until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.